The United States could soon have its first new particle collider in decades. Earlier this year, the Department of Energy announced that Brookhaven National Laboratory in Upton, New York, will be home to the Electron-Ion Collider, which will investigate what's inside two subatomic particles, protons and neutrons. For more, we're joined by Paul DeBar, who is Undersecretary for Science for the Department of Energy. He's in Washington. Paul, welcome. And what will this new collider do? How does it work?
So if you think about this will be an electron collider. And if you think about it, it's very much like an electron microscope, where we're going to be accelerating electrons, which are obviously, you know, much, much smaller than a proton or a neutron, to basically be an electron microscope, where we're shooting electrons at the protons or neutrons to image protons and neutrons. And you need to, you know, accelerate it to very high levels of energy in order to basically shoot it to do the mapping, a little bit like an MRI or a CT scan for the inner workings of matter.
And it will go how fast when it's being accelerated around? And in a circle, right?
Yeah. So the way it will work is that we will accelerate, we will generate an electron beam and accelerate it to very, very close to the speed of light. We measure it by how much energy level that we will impart into the electron beam. We will start at 100 giga electron volts, which is a lot of energy. And that will be done by us generating these electron streams and then accelerating them in a circle. And we basically circle around them, imparting energy into the electron beam until it reaches the level that we want it to, so that we can image the protons and neutrons.
Do you anticipate any practical applications coming out of this research, or are these really first and foremost about basic science?
Well, the basic science research that this country has done, and we have led particle physics since World War II, since the Manhattan Project, and a lot of the technologies that we use today have come out of the basic research that came out of the national labs, including in physics. These accelerators can be used for many different things. The first one is medical isotopes that are used for cancer treatment. So I think as many people know, you look at nuclear medicine and nuclear imaging, which is a core part of the medical community right now for treating diseases, that these accelerators can produce those isotopes on the nuclear medicine side that are really critical. And many times you have to produce them very locally. You have to have accelerators around the country to make these isotopes because they decay relatively quickly, some of them. And so for us to move forward, that certainly helps the medical area. Another one, which is I think very interesting here in the near term, is around quantum information technologies. Utilizing quantum, which is inputting data into atoms rather than transistors, is basically a particle physics problem. And so the same equipment that we're looking at, technology that we're developing here, and we've developed in the past for kind of older versions of accelerators, is the exact same particle technology that will be used for the upcoming quantum computing and the quantum internet. Another area is around detectors. The MRI machine came out of the DOE National Nuclear Physics work. And so we certainly expect that we will have improvements in MRI and CT machines from detectors, just like when we helped invent them.
So if there are so many practical applications, how come this is the first new particle collider that has been built in this country in decades?
You know, there's a bit of a history around these accelerators. They cost a lot of money. There was one that was looked at a couple of decades ago called the Superconducting Super Collider, which ran into some siting and challenges. The U.S. decided to invest in CERN and the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva for that particular piece of science. We've been focusing on other areas. So one of them has been a neutrino piece of infrastructure at Fermilab outside of Chicago,
which we profiled on this show. And actually, our listeners can go and listen to our story about that at hereandnow.org if they want to. It's a very interesting bit of research that's being done out there.
Yeah. I mean, that one, we accelerate protons in order to generate neutrinos to do neutrino research, which also helps us evaluate how the universe was created. So we've been investing in Europe for some colliders. over the last, the near term. And by the way, we continue. That is, for that particular type of collider, we're increasing our investment by the United States into the European collider at CERN. But we decided to take a look at to building this particular collider in the U.S. I think a key thing for your listeners to kind of understand is that the budgets for the Office of Science and science in general at the federal level, including NASA and the National Science Foundation and National Institutes of Health, are at all-time highs. And we're very excited about the support that very bipartisan support from both Congress and ultimately President signing the budgets for all-time highs. So we're very excited about that.
This collider is going to cost between $1.6 and $2.6 billion and should be up and running by 2030. Why does it take so long to build it?
So first of all, one of the advantages of this particular site and building it here is that we're actually using some existing collider infrastructure. There is a collider at Brookhaven National Lab right now called RIC, which is a derelativistic hadron collider. So there's already a loop there that was accelerating other types of ions. There is an accelerator already infrastructure there. And so we're going to finish that mission in terms of imaging for nuclear physics in 2024. Between now and then, we're actually going to be starting both the engineering design in more detail, as well as design around components like the accelerators. And then in 2024, when we take down the RIC collider at Brookhaven National Lab, then we'll start actually installing. And so from then, it will take about 6 years to both do the construction and then do the commissioning and startup.
Now, as you know, when you do a big project like this, the people in New York State are going to be very happy. And there's also a site in Virginia that was hoping to get this as well. Why not pick the Virginia site?
So, the Office of Science does things by having a very methodical process. And we had a process in which this recommendation and the selection was done by the scientists underneath me. You know, we have 17 labs. I love them all equally, just like my children. But, you know, we were doing this based on the data and the data of cost, the data around the team, data around the technology. You know, so there's a number of data points that came in to the team. I think the important thing about the 17, national lab complex that we run is that each one kind of supports each other. And the lab in Virginia, Jefferson Lab in Newport News, is certainly an expert in actually manufacturing these accelerators, driving technologies. And frankly, a lot of the other labs, like at Fermilab and at SLAC at Stanford, benefit right now from the accelerators that were designed and manufactured at there. So we certainly expect that they will have a very leading role in that. And there's a number of other things that we expect them to also take the lead on in terms of computing and data management, which is becoming increasingly important with the amount of data that we're generating out of these facilities.
Okay, I'm going to finally just ask you a silly question, or you'll probably think it's silly, which is you say that the particle accelerator will be able to accelerate to near the speed of light. You can never actually get to the actual speed of light, right?
That is correct. There's a great T-shirt out there that one of my scientists has, which has a T-shirt that says speed limit and it says C on it.
And why is that?
As any piece of matter approaches the speed of light, there's a number of different things that happen. But one thing in particular is that the mass changes of that particular particle. And so as you approach the speed of light, that mass change makes it increasingly hard to get faster and faster. And as you reach the speed of light, you reach an infinite amount of energy needed to get to that last step. And therefore, we cannot do that.
That is Paul DeBar, who is Undersecretary for Science for the U.S. Department of Energy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.